Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadonna, and with me, as always,
Richie Byrne.
And your producer, Sol Joel.
Special day.
Today's a very special
day. Our first non-comedian guest.
That's the part you were going to say is special? That he's a non-comedian?
He's not happy about that either.
I thought it was funny.
You're hysterical, but you don't do it for a living. Well,
world-class celebrities tell me I'm funny. People who are comedians tell me I'm funny.
My own wife. You count as the world-class celebrity because you lay in bed going, I know I'm funny.
I've paid people to say that, but they have said it. They have said it.
Introduce him, Mark.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Oz.
How about that?
Yes.
Yes, the one, the only.
We arrived.
Now, the way this works, the name of the show is Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. And we always start the show off with a drink. And then we tell a street joke. And then we get into our story. So we would like you to give us your drink. Keep in mind, you're the first non-comic, and this is probably going to be the first non-alcoholic drink.
So you take kale.
You take kale. My favorite thing in the world.
So Richie, this is up your alley.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm loving it already.
So a rabbi, a priest, and no. So, yeah. So you take kale.
Yes.
You blend it. Add a little bit of pineapple. And a little bit of garlic, and it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
A little tequila on the edge.
I was going to say, can you do vodka, or what do you recommend?
Actually, my favorite drink of all is tequila.
You're a tequila guy.
By itself. I keep the tequila in the freezer.
I knew he wouldn't go
with that. And you pull it out, and it comes out like syrup. And, you know, like vodka and gin, they're basically distilled alcohol. And it gets a taste because they add stuff to it. So I can never understand where all the pizzazz comes from. I mean, people say there's the best, but it's the same thing. You distill the alcohol to make the pure stuff. You add stuff to it. Maybe it tastes a little different. It's not like it's a wine where they grow it in a certain cask and it's not harvested the right way. It's a problem. Now, tequila is more like a wine. You actually have to harvest it and let it mature, and so it's not quite the same way.
I had a bad experience when I was 18.
With tequila?
Yeah.
You've had a lot of bad experiences.
It didn't start at 18, by the way. I had a bad experience with Budweiser at 14. I'm kidding.
Look, I know his parents. It started much earlier than that.
It did.
Every time he has a bad experience with an alcohol and quits drinking,
then we
just keep adding on and adding on.
Right.
Eventually, you're going to be sober.
And their stock goes down.
Budweiser's almost out of business.
Okay, so kale, pineapple, and
splash.
No, so the kale is because you always give me a hard thing.
Right.
So just in full disclosure, Richie. Is the comedian on the show.
I
don't call you a warm-up guy because you're much more than that. You're my soulmate out there. And I say it sincerely because you're such a pro. You show up with everything, all the gusto, every day.
Thank you.
200 people who are sometimes upset they have to wait in line, da-da-da, and get them cheerful. It turns them into a flash mob by the time we're done. When the show is being crafted, it means a lot because energetically it feeds the guests on the show as well. So that's not easy to do. And to do it every day is different from doing it once in a while. 9 years plus in a row running, we've done it together. Now, he missed two shows, by the way. I just got to say, not like I'm keeping track. Two.
If I don't get a raise, I'm going to miss more. But anyway.
Very good.
But I will say one time, and it's you. They wanted me to start going out to the audience when they're in the holding room. And I don't like, and a lot of warm-up guys, almost all of them do that.
Yeah.
I don't like to do it. And I did it, and you heard me, and you called me in the dressing room. You're like, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going out. They want me. And you go, no. Show starts when you walk on stage.
Yeah.
And that meant so much to me. You felt your show starts when I walk on stage, and I've never forgotten.
Now, on the flip side, Mark and I have been audience members. What goes through your head when Richie's making fun of you? Because a lot of audience members think...
If you're never at the show, I make fun of you.
They had this look like, this is his last day.
He says it. The best line of the whole day is, it's my last show.
It's my last show, let's have fun.
I mean, everything from nice hairpiece to I'm a good-looking TV star, a surgeon.
Look at that outfit.
So good-looking.
The irony of life is if you take yourself seriously, it's so much harder.
Yes.
And there's enough difficulty, and as a heart surgeon, I'll speak to this. When you go in there to take care of someone, and you open their chest up, and the heart's out there, and you could make a relatively minor feeling or seeming mistake, and you kill people. And all of us who do this have skeletons in our closets. You never knew if it was your fault. You just never know. And you always think, I could have done this differently, because obviously if the patient dies, something could have gone better. Yeah. It can't get much worse than that.
It has to be so hard at night.
It is anyway, but I've learned that gallows humor is very effective at loosening people up. Because what I don't want is a bunch of stiff folks around me. And the classic line I'll always give is, in my time of need, when there's blood splurting everywhere, I don't want to be surrounded by intellectuals. I want to be surrounded by people of action.
And that's why you have me.
That's why I have you. And I'll never forget.
Look at you, I think.
I'll never forget. Exactly. And so, we should post a photo of us. We look like the number 10. That's your joke.
Come on.
That's your joke.
It's 100.
That's your joke. It's right, 100. 1,000. But can I say, so I did the heart transplant, you'll probably remember, of Frank Torre.
Right.
Back in the 1996 World Series. I was a young surgeon. Fresh out of training,
96.
And I get the phone call, literally as the Yankees beat the Braves to force everyone to come back to New York. And I get a call.
Are you serious?
Seriously. The game had just ended. I just flicked it off. I was so happy. Girardi hit a three-run homer.
Yeah.
No,
it wasn't Girardi. It was the other catcher.
Yes, you're right, it was. Wait.
Posada.
No, that was way before him.
They called him the king.
The part that I do remember is falling asleep, being woken up because they have a donor in the Bronx. And so, how ironic. So we go get the heart in the Bronx. By dawn, I had transplanted Frank. And because of that, I became very close to them. And I would go sit in the dugout during the games. And you would see how Joe Torre would manage his players. And the most important thing he did was treat them like adults. And make sure they knew that he knew they were trying their best just to relax and enjoy it. Because whatever got you to do it in the first place, just keep feeling that. Mm-hmm. I know to be a pro, you got to show up and do stuff you don't want to do every single day. But it also means you will do that. It also means you can harvest the energy. And so that's what I try to do. And so when you're on the stage, and everyone's real stiff, and the camera guys who are fantastic on our show Rich starts poking fun of how they're all bald.
except
for the female one, they are. Yeah. You know, it loosens everybody up. It also makes people feel inclusive. And in the OR, we do the same thing. If I'm giving the anesthesiologist a hard time, it means things are probably going okay.
Right.
Because I'm taking the effort to just become, it's like with your siblings. They're poking me back. We're making joking, about this or that. And then when stuff gets difficult, then you sort of focus in. You can always tell when it gets quiet, then things aren't quite as copacetic. I always tell the patients that if doctors come in there and they're slapping on the back and having a good time with you, you're okay.
Really?
When 10 people come in and don't say anything, you got a problem.
Because I'll tell you a story. A few years ago, I had to have my meniscus. I torn my meniscus. Yeah. On your set, by the way. And
your lawyer called.
Yeah. But I was going in for surgery.
It was just Richie using a fake voice.
That's right. Are you calling for?
Hello, Dr. Oz. This is Richie's lawyer. So I was going in. I'm on the table, and they're wheeling me in. And the anesthesiologist is talking to the surgeon, and he's talking about his tea time. And I sat up. I go, listen. I said, I work for the Dr. Oz show, so if anything goes wrong here, you're going to be on TV. So you better start focusing. Enough of this golf crap. Focus on the knee.
That relaxed them.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
He felt great.
I'm sure they're big fans of yours now. But that's great.
You mentioned how important laughter is. What do people really mean when they say laughter's the best medicine? Is that really taking
place?
Do you
believe in that? Well, I know you do, but I'm pretending.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's not a belief thing. It's actually true. There's nothing healthier than laughing at a meal. That's why when people say, it's my birthday, but I won't have cake. Well, it's not the time to not have cake. If your whole family's around, you're having a good time and partying it up, and you don't have cake, it's going to be a little strange. That's not when you do it. It's 80-20 rule. That allows you to have the best times in the world. But think about this. If you have that chocolate cake and you're laughing and having a blast, you bite into it, it tastes so good, makes you flower up, then the next bite is not quite as good as the first bite, but it's still good. By the time you get to the third bite, it's hedonism. Right? You don't even taste it anymore.
I never made it to three.
Yeah.
What about the seventh bite?
Yeah, exactly.
What happens there?
Different bite.
Now, you didn't tell your joke. Tell your joke. Dr. Oz tells this joke on the set.
Can I have two jokes?
Yes.
Please?
All right. Yeah.
All right. So the joke I'm telling the joke, and the one I'm not allowed to tell ever. Okay, but I'll tell it for you guys.
All right.
This is the one I've tried. I've tried this on every show possible.
And we promise no one will hear.
No one will hear this. That's what I.
Richie's telling the truth.
They assured me. So, the joke that I do tell, that Richie allows me to tell, is, you know...
I think we need to do a Richie show and have Dr. Oz be the warm-up.
Yes. I'd love that.
You did that at Gotham once.
Yes, remember? Yes. Did I did the warm-up. That was good.
What happened... Let me tell that first.
Please.
He did a great thing. I was going to do a show for his charity, Health Corps. And 2 weeks before the show, we were going to do it at Gotham. 2 weeks before the show, Hurricane Sandy hit.
Oh, boy.
And he has ties in Staten Island, his father-in-law. And your mother-in-law, too? Did they both grow up there?
No, my father-in-law, Lisa, spent a lot of time there.
His father-in-law and my uncle grew up together, which is so weird. But he ended up saying, the charity said, we can't do a show for us now. We have to raise money for Hurricane Sandy. So we ended up redoing the whole show, and we had Gaffigan showed up, Rob Bartlett, Joey Cola. It was, and Doc, I had to put Doc in the show somehow because we were raising money through his charity. So he came up in the middle of the show and had said that everybody was great except for one guy. And I'm like, who? It was me. And I'm so I stood there, and he sat behind me, and I told jokes because he was like, you're not up to par yet. So I told jokes, and he had to pretend like they weren't funny. And every time I look over, he's like yawning.
That wasn't acting.
Brilliant acting.
That's right. Academy worthy.
So he did, but he said, I think I could do warm up better than you. That was the point of the whole thing. So.
I can't. Yeah, that's the honest truth.
I want to hear the joke, I do want to ask you after about working with Denzel.
I will.
I know he's dying to talk to you about that. But
so the joke. Did you hear about the constipated accountant?
No.
He worked it out with the pencil. Boom, boom.
Don't laugh.
That's right up my alley.
The one that I really like that I'm never allowed to tell, but I'll do it here.
It's not because of me. I don't know this joke. Go ahead.
Why do proctologists use two fingers when they do rectal exams?
Why?
Second opinion. Now, I tell that joke because Richie goes in this. Please share with the little gimmick that Richie has worked out to make fun of me, but also talk about rectal exams.
I said when I, the bit when I got, I went to my doctor and he gave me the prostate exam. Is it supposed to take 35 minutes? and he added that. But you also did it on the show with Jimmy Fallon.
I did?
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon was on the show, and you said he was getting, you were doing, remember you did surgery?
Oh, I operated on Jimmy on the show.
Jimmy made a joke about prostate. He goes, is your finger going to be involved? And he goes, I used two. I wanted a second opinion.
They had to bring the house down.
But I heard that they cut that.
I'm sure they cut that. There's no way. You can't show that on network television.
I'm not even sure I should have said it here.
Exactly. Just snip, 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 snip. All right, so you were going to talk about Denzel.
You were what was the official title? The medical director for him during Johnny Q?
So a friend of mine actually was the producer on that show. And Johnny Q, if you all remember, is a story of a father who takes a hospital hostage because he can't get his son listed for a heart transplant. And so it's a serious topic. But in the show, the movie, an organ becomes available and they have to transplant the heart. So they needed to get someone to do the surgery. And James Woods, the actor, the great actor, when he was a young man, put his hand through a glass window and severed a nerve in his hand. So the hand works, but he can't do complex motions. So I had to be his hand double in the movie. So I was giving them advice about heart transplants because I do a lot of them, and how the system works, and how do you get ranked on a organ donor list, and what kind of organs can you take? What would it actually look like? What would it feel like? Do the organs really come in an Igloo cooler? They do. It's cheap. Why would you waste money on a cooler? It's a cooler.
Yeah.
And they look like chicken when they come out of the cooler. Right. And then when you put the sodium in, they pink up. They're beautiful, like a python in the chest. They'll start to coil out of the body and begin to quiver as they begin to snap into a rhythm. And there's that moment you're waiting for it to beat where everyone is silent. Because the usual beep, beep, beep? There's nothing because there's no heart beating.
Right.
And everybody holds their breath. And you wait for that first beep, beep. And then beep, beep, or nothing.
Right.
If it's good news, it beeps. And I had to show them how to do all that. Exactly.
The story.
And I was throwing them in knots. And as they made the movie, they began to have to get into the technical aspects of it, which you take for granted because you do it every single day. And the thing about heart surgery that we don't even acknowledge is so much of it is physical. That's why it's sort of a young man's game. By the time you get into your 60s, most heart surgeons are starting to slow down. because right. you have to, not only are you standing for hours and hours and doing stuff, but you're not throwing, the moving, the manipulation. You're really dependent on...
I have news for you. Daytime TV is a young man's game, too.
Yes, it is, but not always. I got Dr. Phil out there.
He's the one making you...
But see, you know, it's funny. I hate to say this, but, you know, we've been friends for 9 years.
Acquaintances.
And come on, it's my show. Give me a break. It's my show.
How did you get a promotion?
But things like that. How'd you get a promotion? Shut up, Joel. Like, I forget sometimes what he does and what he has done. And it's just, and I don't, it's really amazing to me. It really is.
And congratulations on yet another
yes.
Emmy.
So I'm only embarrassed about the Emmy because...
You didn't mention me.
Yes. So Richie, the bit is that I thank everybody.
Except,
well, almost everybody, he says. And yes. then, of course, we all know it's him. So this year, I was going to go up there and say it. And then the wardrobe woman's birthday was that day. So Lori Elwell.
Oh, give me a break. Who, you mentioned Lori Elwell?
Well, it was her birthday.
I didn't know this. What did you think I watched? I didn't watch. You could have told me you mentioned me.
So I mentioned her. We talked about her a bit. As I walked off the set, under my breath, I mentioned Richie, but I don't think anyone heard.
Oh, good. All right. All right. Well, my birthday's in July, so let's get some
award then. Now, you said that it's a surgeon. Being a surgeon's a young man's job. Your father-in-law was part of the team that did the first open-heart surgery. Right.
He did the first heart transplant. Yeah. So my dad.
So does he bust your chops with saying like, you know, back when we did surgery, we had to go uphill both ways.
It's a whole different level. So remember, he's from Staten Island. So but the classic thing he would do, he called into the operating room when I was young, because I used to ask him advice all the time, because he knew things about how these old valves were inserted. I'd never even seen these valves. So if I had to do a reoperation, he'd give me the advice. My mother-in-law, of course, was no easier on me than he is, would say something like, says, yeah, are you operating by the numbers again? But he would call in. And so he'd say something like, it's, you know, Dr. Lamont for Dr. Oz. And I'd say, tell my father-in-law that I'm busy saving lives. And then he'd be on speakerphone, and I hear him say, he must have canceled his elective schedule. I mean, but then again, this is the man who, when I was training, and, you know, the depth of training when you're just on call every minute, and you're, and, you know, he was on call when he was a young man, the same way for the heart transplants. And he called me one day, he said, you know, never forget that you only go through residency to become a heart surgeon once. And I had already married Lisa. Mm-hmm. So you can always, you know, says you only go through heart surgery residency once, but you can always get married again.
It's plenty of fish in the sea.
That's right. Which I, of course, purposely told my wife. And it got back to him within a microsecond.
So. Oh, I'm sure that.
And he, of course, denied it ever happened.
Yeah, of course he did.
My father-in-law thinks I could become, you know, you can always go in the plumbing.
Yeah,
when comedy doesn't work.
Exactly.
Mine's like bartender.
Are there any memorable moments between you and Richie on the set?
No.
Oh. Next question.
Because
he said there was.
I have one.
Yes.
Can I tell one?
Please.
Michelle Obama was on the show, and we don't have a lot of time, so Michelle Obama was on the show, and before she was on the show, it's like huge security and all that, and they said, do not approach her. I remember we had a meeting with the Secret Service. Do not approach
They'll
her.
Shoot you.
Yeah, and I'm like, listen, when we go to commercial, I'm the guy that's got to run out, so nobody shoot me.
Because I'm not charging. I'm a very easy target.
Yeah.
You're going to hit me.
You're not going to miss.
You know, one of the most redeeming parts about the show is when the guests are done the interview. You know, being interviewed on a talk show is you expose yourself. And you're always a little nervous. And so it's a lot of times celebrities are sharing intimate moments of their lives. And what was most rewarding to me is when they say, you know, I want to thank your team because you took good care of me. You come up all the time, Richie. Because, of course, in between the segments, when they're trying to collect their thoughts, they're hearing him poke fun, and it relaxes them. So I want to pay you the tribute you deserve for nine years of tireless, fantastic work.
And I really think,
as one of the podcasts, you should just do your routine because he riffs off the topics on the show. I don't know how many poop jokes he has, but they are endless.
I do steal. Yeah, that's true.
And then I steal the ideas and deliver them not as well as he does. I get a little laugh. It's a modicum of humor.
But what happened, so Michelle did the show, and I did, like he said, and then She came back 6 months later. And again, they were like, don't go near her, but they knew who I was. So he is taking pictures between segments with her. And I'm standing, letting them have the pictures. There's like five or six different
He's like a foot behind us, but not out of the shot.
And he, no, and he says to me, Richie, I couldn't understand what he said, but I figured he said, you're in the way of a camera. So he and Michelle Obama are staring at me, and I just go into this thing where I look like this. Like, I just go back and forth, and there's no, and he goes.
He looks like Chubby Checker doing the twist.
Yeah, I did. And Doc goes, what are you doing? And I go, what did you say? And he said, I said, come over here and take a picture with the first lady.
I was stretching.
And when I went over, and I'll always just make it. And I looked at Secret Service. They said, go ahead. I walked over. And she said to me, I was hoping you were still here. And I go, why? What'd you hear?
She'll take you out. She's a special woman.
Well, I think that was about right for us. And you, I would have loved to talk more about the show. And I wish you would have been funnier.
We'll do it again.
But we'll do it again. And thank you so much for being here.
Good luck with this. If I can help you, I love you too, man. Yeah. Really do. God bless you. Even though you missed two shows in 9 years.
That's it.
Drink, jokes, and storytelling.
That's perfect. All right, guys. Oh, my
God. Last call. Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.